This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We don't have this person on the show nearly enough, but I always enjoy when he makes an appearance. Bob Fesco called into the show today to talk about all of the happenings regarding the Royals and this location out on 119th and all. Bob, how are you doing today, my man?
Well, I'm good. You never come in and join us either. So we got to do this more, especially during football season. We said this last year, right about this time, that we would each do a weekly hit on each other's shows. And then our producers didn't take care of and booking this stuff and setting it up, and they dropped the ball on it, Carrington. So I blame Rob and Mac for this.
100%. I told Mac I was happy to do it. He would always ask me Fridays at 9 o'clock, and you know I do television Fridays at 9 o'clock. I can do a lot of other times. I can't do that time.
No, I know. That time doesn't work for you. And we have our roundtable, but we don't need you for that. We could have like a Wednesday CDOT segment, you know, and do something like that on the reg. It could be on the phone. You don't have to roll in there early.
I'm happy to do that, Bob. Bob, I didn't get a chance to listen today. How many I told you so's did you offer up today? Because you took a lot of arrows a couple of weeks ago. A lot of people called it hot take, fake news. You didn't know what you were talking about. You ended up being right about all of this.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and do a victory lap, Carrington. You know, I'll let you guys do that for me. I think it's better, you know, if you guys want to form the parade and have the fun and do all that. But, I mean, I hate to be the I told you so guy, but it doesn't even date back to last week. It dates back to February 27th of 2024 when I was on the air telling people, look, here's what I'm being told. If this vote fails, there will be other municipalities in the metro area that step up and bid on and try to get the Kansas City Royals, and it will be on both sides of the state line. Nobody wanted to hear that. And I think that's a big problem in society today, not just necessarily with this story, is that people don't want to hear what they find to be something they don't like or that they don't agree with. They don't open their minds, their tunnel vision. They think everything that they don't agree with is fake news and a hot take. And here we sit, the Royals getting ready most likely in the next couple of weeks to announce that they've moved to Kansas. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to be that much further behind, quite honestly. So I think this is just a situation that if you were listening and paying attention to everything that I was kind of saying all along, this shouldn't have been a surprise for anybody to see that this next step has been taken. And I can tell you just from some of the folks that, you know, I've talked over the last couple of days with, excitement is starting to build for what could be an epic ballpark village area out at 119th and all, if and when this all gets finally complete.
So let's talk about sort of how this deal came together, because just a couple of weeks ago, Asperia released a statement that basically was emphatic. No, we are not in this. Do you think it was them either just outright denying it, or do you think that they were really kept in the dark about this and this just kind of happened behind the scenes? Because if you read the story, it sounded like it read like this caught them this caught them off guard that this deal was reached.
Well, okay, so that was March. Again, we've been talking about 119th and all since October, roughly. How that catches anybody by surprise is beyond me. That's people failing at their job and not doing and keeping up with and being in tune to what's going on in the community in which they are in, right? There's no reason on this planet, Carrington, that Bob Fesco should know the dealings that's going on at a office complex campus when the landlord doesn't know what's going on with the office at the office complex campus. That is right there failure to do your job. You know, in college football and in college sports, they call it what, like failure to monitor or something like that, and they always suspend the coach for something stupid like that. Failure to monitor. That's clearly what was going on with folks out there at that campus. They just did not know that this was all going on, and that's ignorance on their part. They needed to know that this was going on. So what do you do? Then you release a press release trying to run down the truth because you were basically caught off guard because you weren't doing your job at that point in time. There's one thing in that press release that Asperia put out that I thought was very interesting. They said they are committed to keeping it a mixed-use facility. It is not a mixed-use facility at this point in time at the Asperia campus. It is dilapidated office buildings that has been out of date since 2001, roughly when it opened, right? 2001, 2000, when that campus opened. That is not a mixed-use campus right now. So they said they intend to keep it as a mixed-use campus, a ballpark, offices, restaurants, bars, hotels, all that kind of stuff. That is a mixed-use campus. And so Asperia claiming they're a mixed-use campus at this point in time, that's just not true at all.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco, getting his thoughts, his reaction to the news of the day surrounding the Royals. There's a headline right now that the Royals have confirmed they used an affiliate to purchase the mortgage on the Asperia campus over in Overland Park. This is on 119th and Nall. The Business Journal is reporting that this sold on May 9th for roughly $164 million. We had John Ketso on the show. We're going to play that in its entirety coming up in about 45 minutes. He thinks that there is a chance that the Royals bought this property at $164 million, and one of the options could be for them to flip it down the line at an increase of a price. Are you hearing that that is a possibility? Because it seems to me that there are two possible options. Either the Royals are using this for leverage to see what's going to happen with Missouri, or the Royals are serious about building their new stadium on this location.
They're not using to flip that. That land right there has been sitting there for 20-some years, and nobody has done anything with it. There are no houses around that area of land to get in the way of a ballpark or anything of that nature. It is the perfect spot, and it is exactly what John Sherman has talked about since he bought the club and doing a battery in Atlanta. That spot of land there at 119th and Nall is 10 acres smaller than the sports complex, which houses two stadiums and 22,000 parking spaces, mind you, flat surface parking spaces. And that spot is actually bigger than the spot that they have the battery in Atlanta, which houses, I think, 22 bars and restaurants, four Fortune 500 companies alone in that area. And it's built in exactly the same area of Atlanta that we would be building this stadium in out in Johnson County. I do not believe, from the people that I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of people on this, there is nobody thinking that they can take that thing and flip it. Otherwise, it would have been flipped a long time ago, because that spring campus has been obsolete, like I said, since the day it's opened, and nobody's done anything out there. And it's basically sat for 25 years and collected cobwebs. And now the Royals are coming in and they're saying, eh, hell, we'll buy it. We'll put our stadium here. Because another thing that people need to be aware of is that Johnson County is now the economic driver of the Kansas City area. 55% of the Royals season ticket holders live within a 5-mile radius of 119th and Nall. You go to where your people are. You go to where your fan base is. You go to them. And I guarantee you their season tickets are going to grow and grow and grow when they open that stadium there.
I was just going to ask you if you think this solves one of the Royals' problems, because you and I have seen this. People don't go to the Royals games during the week. People certainly go on the weekend to Royals games, but you and I have been here long enough to know a Wednesday game, if it's not against a marquee opponent, people are simply going to wait till the weekend to go out there. Do you think this location helps them with that issue? Because again, on the weekends, they're going to draw a crowd. The Yankees are in town. The Red Sox are in town. People are going out there. Do you think this helps them during the middle of the week or for day games?
Well, I do, but I also think winning helps that, too. Like, the Royals do not have a history of winning. I don't think that's wrong to say, right, Carrington? Like, we're not breaking any news here. The Royals traditionally have been a bad franchise. And so when something is not on top of your mind all the time, you tend not to do it. I'm speaking from now a father with two kids that are at high school age, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. Our summer is already booked out. Our fall is pretty much already booked out. We're starting to spill into 26 with their events and stuff like that. Calendars fill up fast. And so if you're a baseball team and you're a losing baseball team for the majority of everybody's lifetime, they're probably not factoring you into a lot of plans to make sure that you get out to the ballpark. And so you should have the carryover the year after you were good. The Royals are starting to see a pickup at the gate. But to answer your question in a long way, yeah, I think it would absolutely help with walk-up traffic. People, again, 55% of the season ticket holders live within a 5-mile radius of 119th. And all Johnson County is the fastest growing county in the metro. More and more people are moving there, you know, every single day. And I think that, yeah, it'll definitely help with walk-up traffic. Hey, you want to run up to the ballpark real fast? We can, you know, take a Bird scooter, or we can take an Uber real fast, get up there. We don't have to go all the way out to Independence, Raytown, 435 and 70. It's 25 minutes that way, 25 minutes this way. Maybe you don't even have to mess with parking because it's there, because you live so close, you can just take an Uber and get dropped off. Yeah, I think there may be some of those nights, Carrington, where you're sitting around on a Tuesday and you realize nobody's got anything. Hey, let's run out to the ballpark. It's right down the street.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco for a few more minutes here, getting his thoughts on this story that is developing with the Kansas City Royals. Bob, you know that part of town far better than I do. Do you actually like this location? Because my question to John Sherman would be this. He has sold us on this dream of downtown baseball, and I get it. Like, you go to other cities and you see the stadium downtown, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. This whole thing, I want to know if they want a new stadium or a new downtown stadium, because 119th and all, that is nowhere near downtown Kansas City. And ultimately, when he started to communicate this vision, he always communicated this vision as being downtown, not simply a we want a new stadium by any means necessary, and we don't really care in the metro where we put it. They have flirted with North Kansas City. They're now flirting with Overland Park, Kansas. It sounds to me like he is at least getting away from the vision that he has sold for basically now 2 years.
Well, there's no leadership from the mayoral position in KC, Mo, and that's been a big problem throughout all of this. And when you don't have a strong leader at the top, it's hard to get anything done. And John Sherman, I'm going to give a long story real fast, if that's okay with you, because John Sherman is one of the most committed, dedicated members of the Kansas City community that I've ever seen. And I've been doing this a long time, and I've seen a lot of people. John, I think, supports at least 33 nonprofits. He has a program called the Sherman Scholars, where he, you know, sends kids to college on his dime. He's adopted numerous children and helped them and changed their lives. John Sherman is nothing but a great human being, and he wants to be in downtown Kansas City and wanted to be in downtown Kansas City. He was willing to put $1 billion of his own money into developing downtown Kansas City. And Kansas City told him no. And so I think that probably rubbed John Sherman the wrong way, because I know he wants to be in downtown, wanted to be in downtown Kansas City. It was his passion to be in downtown Kansas City. It's still my passion to see a downtown baseball stadium. I've wanted a downtown baseball stadium since I saw the original plans in 2001 at 20th and Grand for a downtown ballpark. It's been something that I've wanted. But the citizens also showed John Sherman they didn't want him either by a large margin. This wasn't a close vote. This wasn't one or two votes here, one or two votes there. It's a 60-40 type of vote that basically told John Sherman, we don't want you. And how does that make John Sherman feel? A man who's dedicated money, time, and his entire life to making Kansas City a better place, and Kansas City basically told him, we don't really want you. Go find somewhere else at this point in time. And so that's what John did, and he had to do that. And it's a good thing. It's not like we're moving to Nashville potentially, or Portland, or Las Vegas, or, you know, one of these other places that, you know, you lose your team. We're not losing our team. They're moving across the street potentially. I mean, that's all that's happening in this situation. But I think John felt burned by KC Mo. I think he felt burned by, obviously, Frank White, Mayor L, the whole nine yards. Like, people did not lead when they needed to lead. They got destroyed at the polls, and now they have an opportunity to come over to the state of Kansas where they're getting their money for free, no strings attached, no public vote, and they can get moving and they can build the stadiums that they want. And that's the way I would go, because why do you want to go back to a vote again? The earliest it could potentially go is November. And then if you look at what's going on in Missouri right now, I have no idea.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Idea how to explain what that mess is that's taking place right now in the state of Missouri. Why do you want to subject yourself to that anymore when you've got until June 30th to collect free money, basically no vote, and build your stadium?
Yeah, I also think too, Bob, is I don't know if the Royals would pass another vote. Like, all of it sounds good, right? Like, but Tomorrow, let's say the Royals put everything out and they say, hey, we have this great idea for a downtown stadium. We just need you guys help. Here, we're going to put it on the ballot. I'm not 100% sure that it passes in Jackson County anymore.
No, I'm not either. I don't think that it does. Do you think a Chiefs vote would count if they did a Chiefs-only vote on
it? I do think it would pass.
Okay, you do. But do you think the Chiefs want to go to a vote? Because I think they're gone too. I mean, that's just my opinion right now, reading kind of the tea leaves and everything going on. I think that vote really stung both franchises pretty bad. I think the Chiefs may have announced already if it wasn't for, hey, man, Clark's dad built that house. You know, that's nostalgia to them. That's hard to do. You move out of your childhood home, you know, after 60 years that your dad physically built with his own two hands. That's hard to do. I think there's some of that pull in the Hunt family, maybe to potentially look at a renovated Arrowhead Stadium. But at the end of the day, these are businesses. And the way that the businesses of sports are going right now, other than the NFL, you're not getting your money through those TV deals anymore. You have to essentially be a landlord and have real estate all around the stadium that you own and collect rent money on, and put that back into the ball club. The landscape of sports has changed so much, and the Truman Sports Complex, quite frankly, is outdated and doesn't give our owners the best opportunity to invest back in the ball club like a lot of these other places can.
Bob, you seem very positive about this. The mayor of Kansas City also sounds very positive. Why do you think both sides both seem to think that they are going to have the Royals and the Chiefs?
Well, he's a politician. He has to sound, you know, positive for his constituents and KC Moe. And I seem very positive about this because I see what's happening before my eyes. And I've talked to enough people, you know, that are kind of, you know, have an idea of what's going on, getting the bits and pieces of stuff. And so I'm very, very positive that it's going to come out here. Nothing's a done deal yet. I've not said that it is a done deal. But when you have somebody that's part of your ownership purchase the land, what'd you say, $170 million or whatever it was, they're not purchasing office buildings that have been sitting there for the last 20-some years.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco for a couple of more minutes here. Let's say that this vote for this special session passes in a couple of weeks or so. How does that change?
They don't have a couple of weeks. They don't have a couple of weeks, Carrington. The deadline is June 30th in the state of Kansas.
But in Missouri, they have a special session that's coming up June 5th,
You're right. But what I'm saying is if the Chiefs or Royals do not announce by June 30th, the Kansas money's off the table. Then we have a problem.
Yeah, I don't really believe that part of it. This is why I don't believe it.
That's what the bond sunset on June 30th. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's the fact.
Yeah, but to me, it just seems like if you're in Kansas and you simply want to move the deadline, if you guys come together as politicians and say, hey, we're going to give them another 30 days, you and I both just know. I find it hard to believe that a state like Kansas, that for the first time realistically in our lifetime, realistically has a chance to have an NFL team and a Major League Baseball team, they're now setting a hard deadline with the National Football League on when they can build their stadium. So that's why I think, let's say we get to the 21st and there's no resolution, then I think the people in Kansas are simply going to come up with a way to extend this thing to July 30th or August 1st or whenever they need to get a definitive answer from the Royals and Chiefs about what they want to do.
Yeah, I don't know legally that they can do that, Carrington, and it is something I'll check on. I think it has to go back again, and you know, sessions in Missouri and Kansas don't start till January. Now you're 2 years behind. This is not something that is a sudden deadline, though, Carrington. They've had since April 5th of last year to get something done. Missouri has chosen to sit around and scratch their ass, not Kansas. Kansas put together a plan. They gave the teams exactly 1 year. You got a year. That's not a short-term deadline at all. That's not a hurry up. I quite frankly have heard so many people say they're putting these fast deadlines. Once that vote failed, wheels started to go into motion. On February 27th of that year, a month and a half prior to that vote, I told everybody if this vote fails, they're going to take the next steps to look at other municipalities. And so this isn't something that's being rushed. This isn't something that's being hurried. This isn't something that needs to be extended. Everybody knows where they stand at this point in time. I think both the organizations are dotting I's and crossing T's and seeing what they can take. No matter what they do in the state of Missouri, it's going to have to go to a vote. The earliest something can get on the ballot in the state of Missouri is November. And let's say it's a Chiefs-only thing. Do the Chiefs want to wait all that time to see if something does pass with everything that's gone on in Jackson County? I think Jackson County had the first right of refusal, and then the rest is up to everybody else, and other people have come to the table that may have offers that are better than anything that the state of Missouri can put out there.
So, Bob, I'll get you out of here with this, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like you think we are going to have a definitive answer, a resolution on this topic at some point here in the next 30 days, that this is not a topic that we are going to be talking about once football starts. It sounds like you think that this thing is almost done, that sometime coming up in the month of June, both the Chiefs and the Royals are going to announce to us their decision to move to Kansas.
I wouldn't say to move to Kansas. I would leave off announce their decision by the end of June. I hope so. I guess everybody's tired of hearing about this thing. They all just want a resolution. Imagine living in Oakland and having to do this for 20 years and listening for 20 years about trying to get an A's stadium built. It's the beauty of having two states that can kind of bid to each other with the state line in the middle. We've got the best of both worlds. Our teams aren't leaving the metro area, regardless of what side of the state line they're on. Who cares as long as they're here? And if Kansas saves both of these teams from having to relocate to Nashville or to Portland or, you know, parts between, that's a great thing. This should be a good day for everybody in Kansas City. The animosity throughout all of this has been so ridiculously upsetting to me, because one state is trying to save these teams while another state is doing whatever it is that's going on over there in the state of Missouri. Kansas is like, hey, we'll figure out a plan. We'll keep our teams in the area because we know how important they are. People should be thanking the state of Kansas for coming to the plate and trying to save and keep both of these teams in our Kansas City area.
Bob, when was the last time that you went on a road trip?
Like what kind of road trip?
Just like you, your wife, and your kids just decided, hey, let's get in the car and let's go to Omaha to go to the zoo.
It's probably been a bit for that. Yeah, it's probably been a couple of years for that. Probably right during COVID was probably the last time we actually road tripped.
You know what I would suggest? Sometime this summer, you and your family should just get in the car, get some snacks, listen to music, and take a road trip this year.
Well, we're going to. Jen and I are driving to North Dakota here at the end of the month.
That's a road trip.
It's the only state of the lower 48 of which I have not been. So we are going to North Dakota, turning around and coming home.
Which one has Mount Rushmore? I don't know if that's north or south. Okay.
South Dakota. Yeah.
So I'm assuming you've seen the Mount Rushmore.
I have, yes.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
It's
worth it.
You didn't say that in a way that made me feel like it was worth it.
No, I was pausing for dramatic effect. No, it's definitely worth it. I mean, it's 30 minutes. You know, you look at it, you go, great, fantastic, and you move on with your day. But, yeah, I mean, I'm into all of that kind of stuff. I love history. I love weird things on the side of the road, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's all worth it to me.
That is Bob Fesco joining us on the show today for the latest on the stadiums. Bob, I'm sure we'll talk about this again in the future. I appreciate your time.
You got it, my man, anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.